Acts chapter 15, we came through to the other side of the Jerusalem Council. We call it the Jerusalem Council. The apostles met to discuss what does the gospel of Jesus Christ look like. This is key. This is key. What had happened is some Pharisees, some Judaizers had joined the church. These aren't unbelievers. They're misbelievers. They don't dislike Jesus. They love Jesus, but they have some strange ideas of what the gospel of Jesus Christ should look like. They said, well, Jesus, he's the Messiah. You've got to believe in Jesus. But in addition to Jesus, you've also got to be circumcised, keep Jewish festivals, Jewish dietary laws, keep Sabbath, etc., etc., and etc. Now listen, we've been over this, and we've been over this, and we've been over this again. The Jesus is fine. Now, the Jesus, when somebody says Jesus plus, the plus is the Kool-Aid. That's the poison. Don't drink that, okay? That's no good for you. It's no good for your spiritual life. You'll end up a heretic. We're not religious around here. I would say, if anything, I'm anti-religious. I've done religion. It was unavailing. Two things will happen when you do religion. You'll do it very, very poorly, and you'll be depressed. You'll be singing that old, Tennessee Ernie Ford? Ron would know. That old 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You'll feel like that. You'll feel like, you know, the more I live, the farther I get away from God, not closer I get to God. That's how I was doing. Or you'll be like a Pharisee. You'll make a pretty good show of it, and you'll pat yourself on the back and say, look at how good I'm doing. That's called pride. It's a hook with a worm on it that Satan dangles in front of us. If you bite into that, you're going to find yourself flopping around on a boat. It's not good, okay? Pride is no good. So that's what religion, it'll end in one of those extremes. Always, I believe so, always. Rather, just love Jesus. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sins. Adam, it can't be that easy. Oh, listen, we're going to discuss this and rediscuss this and relook at it, and that's a big chief part of what goes on here. Jesus is preeminent. I'm always talking about Jesus. You say, what do you got, some sort of fixation on Jesus? Yes, I do. Guilty as charged. I'll own that one. I never blush to speak his name. Now, I don't say God all the time. I believe in God. I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is the second person in the Trinity. I mean, my doctrine, I think, is very sound. It's not, most church members in mainline denominations be comfortable with my doctrine. It's not, one, it's not vague. And that's why I don't say God, because God, the term in America in the 21st century, has become vague. You know, there's new religion out there called vague spirituality. They don't call it that. I call it that, right? It's like, oh, I'm a very spiritual person. Oh, you love Jesus? Well, no, but I mean, I think about that there's good things, and I try to be a good person. I call it vague spirituality. You know, you're just kind of like, yeah, there's wrong, and I try not to do it. There's right, and I try to do it. Oh, nifty. What is that? That's religion. You just invented that. And your list of rights and wrongs are probably what you think are right and wrong. You know, recycle, that's way up there, okay? Eternal life through recycling. We got to save the Mother Earth and the planet. We're kind to the elderly, children, and puppies. And you have your list, and on you go. None of these things are in themselves bad. I think you should recycle, by the way, okay? I don't think it's going to lead to eternal life, but I think it's a good thing, you know what I mean? So they have this council in Jerusalem. What is the gospel? What isn't the gospel? Because the big thing is, like, you know, we got Paul and we got Barnabas, and they're out to all these Gentile cities and towns and villages, and they're saying, okay, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These people coming around after him. Yeah, well, that's right, but you got to be circumcised. Now, that's a big, big deal, okay? Imagine what our numbers would look like if we had involved circumcision in among the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or a lot of other things. I think, you know, circumcision isn't the big thing, but a lot of other things are. You see people struggling with the concept of Sabbath. You know, I could probably pass out a quiz right here and ask you some questions about that, and I don't know if I'd get 100%. I think there'd be some fuzzy-headed thinking about that. You know, the people come to your door and they'll, you know, and they'll talk to you and try to sell you on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are wonderful. They tell us the mind, the heart of God. And they'll say something like, well, isn't murder still a sin? And you'll say, well, yeah. And they'll say, okay, isn't it still wrong to commit adultery? And you'll say, oh, of course it's wrong to commit adultery. And they'll say, well, okay, so 9 out of 10 commandments we keep, and the 10th commandment, keeping the Sabbath, we don't keep that anymore. And you'll say, that's exactly right. And let me show you the verses. And we will endeavor to show you these things over the course. I can't do that old Sabbath. I mean, that's a whole teaching in and of itself. But the answer to that is yeah. And so we're not, you know, we try to, you know, be sound in our doctrine and our approach. We say what the Bible says, et cetera, et cetera. And so anyway, they came out of the end of this conference. This is what they came away with. Wherefore my sentence is, this is James speaking. James is the head of the church in Jerusalem. This is not James, the brother of John. He's already been beheaded at this point. So if he's speaking, that really is a miracle. This is James, the brother of Jesus. You say, Jesus had brothers? Yes. It's very biblical. The only people who have trouble with that are the people who believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary. I don't think that's not only not sound scripturally, I don't think that's sound. I don't think I'd like to be married to a perpetual virgin. I don't think that's a good idea at all. And I think people think like, well, she is, it's a special thing. It's not special. It's anti-biblical. I mean, not only do we have evidence that Jesus has brothers, I mean, but think about a happily married couple in the sight of God, like as if procreation and sex were like something, like that was a negative thing or a bad thing. Huh? I don't know nothing about that. My Bible doesn't teach anything even about this. Matter of fact, I'm very anxious to teach Song of Solomon. We'll wait till it comes up, but no children involved. It's going to be a kind of R-rated. I'm not even pretending. You go ahead and read it without me. I'll and do some study. It's a wonderful book. Wonderful book. And I'm not embarrassed about talking about that. And I don't think you should be either. And let's keep moving. So with my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood, which has a lot to do with their pagan worship. He says, listen, you got to have some basis for fellowship. If you're doing these things, you're gonna stress them out to the point where there's gonna be a wall of partition. You're gonna talk about forever. We're gonna be talking about Jewish members of the church and Gentile members of the church. You've got to at least do this many things, okay? Why? Because this equals salvation? No. It doesn't say it'll get you saved. It's saying if you do these things, you do well. And this is the what he writes to them. Look at what he wrote. And they verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. Listen, if you're a legalist, you're subverting people's souls. That's wrong. Knock it off. Repent. Saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Listen, the New Testament's full of this. Are we under the law? Romans tells us in many places, no. The answer to that question is no. To whom we gave no such commandment that you got to keep the law. I don't know what these people out there are saying. It didn't come from us, and we're the head of the church. I'm James, the head of the Jerusalem church. I got Peter here with me. I've got Paul. I've got Barnabas. I mean, listen, is there people you want to appeal to over us? We kind of know what's going on here. We were with the master for 3.5 years. I kind of think I got the gospel down when he was sharing it. We didn't give them any such commandment. Listen, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved men, Barnabas and Paul, men who that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They abstain from meat, offered to idols, from blood, from things strangling, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. If you keep yourselves from these things, you shall be saved. No, you shall do well. James says, you don't do these things to earn salvation. You do these things so you don't place a stumbling block to Jewish brothers. Okay, listen, if I had a Jewish believer over my house and I had him over for dinner, I wouldn't have pork chops. That's just insensitive. That's just lobster tail or something. Nah, just, you know, lamb. Lamb's great on a barbecue. That's wonderful. We'd have a great time. I'll meet you halfway here. I don't want to stumble anybody. I can eat dead cow all day long. We'll do something really kosher. I don't want to stress anybody out. And I think that's all he's saying here. He's saying, don't be offensive. There was one story that's told by Alfred Edersheim, Jewish man, wonderful brother in the Lord, came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was asked to bless a dinner one time. It was ham. You know, they had him as a guest speaker and stuff like that. He said, all right, Lord, I guess you can bless pork. I don't know. You know, kind of asked the blessing and left. And I thought, like, that was awful insensitive. I mean, you can have chicken. You can have – there's so many things you can have. And he was just a Jewish man who was, you know, kept Jewish dietary laws, because when Jews come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that still happens very often. They still keep the Jewish dietary laws and things like that. And what they're saying is, don't go to war about these things. You guys, flex a little bit. Be sensitive. And if you do this, you're doing well. Again, don't think in terms of you're doing this, you're getting saved. You abstain from fornication. I got to tell you what, you're still doing well. But if you abstain from fornication, you think you're going to heaven? That's ridiculous. I'm abstaining from fornication, but I don't believe in Jesus. I got news for you. It's not going to end up as well for you as you think. Now, having said that, abstain from fornication for sure. But let's keep moving. Verse 30, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. It's a happy day, this letter. Why? I mean, think, the guy had an appointment with his doctor. Hey, call the doctor. Hey, cancel that appointment. That's a no-go now. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I mean, come on. You know, imagine this just a little bit. There's great consolation here. Isn't it in your heart when... I think, like, you don't have to keep the law. Listen, three times a year, you have to be in Jerusalem if you're an able-bodied male. You have to be for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. This is going to alter your schedule a little bit this year, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you're saying, well, I don't have to do that. Oh, hallelujah. Now, by the way, in the millennial kingdom, this is subject for another time, you will do Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles. You really will. Zechariah chapter... I think it's 14, but you can look that up yourself. But I think you might be living there anyway. Besides, you have a glorified body. I think travel would be kind of easy. I don't know. But just that's a subject for another time. And they were happy. They rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, well, how handy that is. You know, have these traveling prophets with you. They exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Confirm the idea of strengthening. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So now we have Paul and Barnabas and Silas. That's kind of cool, and that's going to play into the next bit here. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now that would be a good church. I got Pastor Paul and his assistant pastors, Silas and Barnabas. Now that would be kind of a cool church to go to. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Hey, let's go back. I mean, we've been preaching the gospel here and here, and you remember all the places that we've been discussing. They said, let's see how they're doing. And Barnabas says, yeah, great. And he determined in verse 37 to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, you remember John Mark. John Mark had left them when they were in, I think, Galatia, or they're heading up to Galatia. I can't remember exactly where he left them, but he punked out. The going was hard, and it says, and Mark kind of abandoned them. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from, Pamphylia. Okay, if I just keep reading, I'll answer my own question, right? And went not with them to the work. John Mark did a disappearing act. When they needed him the most, there he was, gone. Zip, just gone. Just backed out, just wimped out, just didn't do good. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed another asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now I've got a question for you. They split up. Are you serious, Adam? Yeah. As a matter of fact, where it says the contention was so sharp between them, that means heated. Was it loud? Yeah. Was there hurtful words back and forth? I don't know. I'd like to think they did it like men of God, but there was some agitation. There was some agita. There was some heated discussion. Who was right? Well, I got to tell you this. I think they both were, okay? Barnabas, the son of consolation, he would have been the perfect one to reestablish Mark. I mean, I can imagine his case. Listen, Paul, God is the God of second chances. Give the lad another chance. By the way, it was his nephew we're talking about. Come on. I mean, what do you think? I mean, this is the gospel. Now let's be gospel people and give this guy a second chance. I think Paul was right. Hey, listen, this is the big leagues. I ain't got time to, be this little boy's nursemaid. If he's going to, do this disappearing act every time the going gets a little tough, you can go ahead and take him with you and hold his hand through all the tough times, but this is the big leagues. We ain't got, and I think Paul's right. So what happens? Now we got two missionary teams instead of one missionary team. We got Barnabas and Mark going off in one direction. We got Paul and Silas off in another direction. I think Satan was getting in among them and stirring it up, and I think God made it all go out for good. I think that's what happened. Now, am I right or wrong about this? I don't know. It's just my opinion, but I will tell you this. Even as men of God, you listen, everything I say, you should think it came right out of the burning bush. You know, you ever question it, right? Have I ever said that? Have I even joked about it? Come on. Can you disagree with me? Yes. Can you disagree with me sharply? Yes. Can you feel passionately about the things I'm saying in an opposite direction? Yes, you can. Who said you couldn't? Now, most times you generally don't. I mean, you're here, and I see a few people have got mad at me and get it in my face later on. That happens. It always happens. But I don't care, and I won't hold it against anyone. And can you strongly disagree with me and be a man or a woman of God? Yes. Because I'm not saying, Paul, he's old, nasty, old curmudgeon. What's his problem? He don't give Mark a second chance. What's it? No, this is the Apostle Paul. I ain't going to sit here and second guess him. Now we have Barnabas, the son of consolation. He's all about grace. He's all about mercy. He's all about, giving people a second chance. Am I going to sit here and say, oh, listen, you're giving the boy too many chances? I'm not going to argue with either one of them. This is who we are. I think a lot of our legitimate, we having these discussions, sometimes even heated discussions, sometimes I think that comes down to personality and who we are and job description. We need mercy people around here. I mean, we really need people who give people a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. We need those people. And then we need enforcers. Like, listen, we need some people get up in people's face and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Call them to repentance. We need all that. And I don't think there's a question of right and wrong. I think there is sometimes a question of time and a question of, listen, I got to get saved last week and I expect to be super saint this week. I don't. Some people are severe and they do. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy personally. But my personality is just my personality. It's not like thus saith the Lord. It's not like it came out of the burning bush. It's just my ideas. It's my attitudes. It's my opinions. And, we'll all have our verses to stand on. And just because, like, I make this verse, and this is my life's verse, and this is the one I'm, and you saying, well, this is mine, and they kind of look like they're in stark opposition to each other. They're generally not. It's just a question of degrees and a question of timing and a question of personalities and things like this. We don't have to disagree. I mean, we don't have to always agree. And it's not like one of us is godly and the other one is ungodly. Now, sometimes that's the case. Okay, just because we disagree doesn't mean sometimes there's right and wrong. Listen, Jesus Christ is God. You disagree with that, I want to tell you something. On the authority of this book, you're wrong. Okay, that's all there is to it. It's not like godly disagreeing. It's you're a heretic and you're wrong and you have to repent. Am I being purposely vague here? I'm not. I don't want to be vague. I want to be really crisp on some things. But now we start talking about, was it the right time to do this? Should we do this? Should the service look like this? Should it be moved to this time? And there's no, like, the Bible doesn't say, you start your church service at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning every week. It doesn't say that anywhere. Should you have a midweek service? Should you have it on Wednesday? Should you have it on Thursday? Should be in the church? Should be in the home? It doesn't say any of these things. So we have, you know, ideas, and we can even disagree about these, and we can even sharply disagree about these things, and that's fine. They do, and it leads to two missionary teams instead of one missionary team. I know Satan's in there saying, ha-ha, I'm getting the advantage of them. Look at, they're in each other's grill work, and they're shouting and they're hollering. And now I got two missionary teams I got to worry about. Now he's got to, you know, send different forces in different directions. That backfired on him, didn't it? Because that's how God is, you know. You think Satan would learn, but he's psychotic. He's not stupid. No, and I mean that's, no, I know you're laughing. No, I mean that. He thinks he's going to win. What do you call that? I call that psychotic. He's very sharp. He's bright. He's not stupid. He's just not really, I don't know, crisp in his thinking. He thinks he's going to win. That's psychotic. Okay? Let's keep moving. We're in Acts chapter 16. Then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That's Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were Lystra and Iconium. They say, hey, this guy, he's really got it going on. He really loves the Lord. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, wait a second. Time out. I'm struggling here. Somebody help me out. Okay, they took him. And they circumcised him so he could go share the gospel that you don't need to be circumcised. They just got done the Jerusalem conference where it says you don't need to be circumcised. They take and they circumcise him. What's that all about? Because listen, this is a special thing because his father's a Greek. Now it says this. It says you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. It doesn't say you can't be circumcised. He's going the extra mile. He's the one who's saying, listen, I'm going to be witnessing. I'm going to be working in the Jewish community. This, the fact that my father was a Gentile, my father was a Greek, this question will come up. I'm going the extra mile. Now, this is a young man. Circumcision is best performed on babies, okay? 8 days old, by the way. Young men, not so much. This is love. This is commitment, and this is going the extra mile. This is a wonderful thing, I think. Does he know that he doesn't have to be circumcised? Yeah, of course he does. He's with the Apostle Paul, who does a circumcision, by the way. You know what I mean? I almost think, you know, it says Paul took and circumcised him, and I almost think it was actually Paul physically. I don't know that, you know what I mean? But this is love. This is like, hey, listen, I'm going here. I'm going to be meeting with these people. I'm going to have to speak their language. Listen, there's a lot to be said here. You listen to Ravi Zacharias, you're a devotee of him like I am. Absorb the culture around you. Don't get infected by it, but learn of it. Know what's going on. I don't, not to the degree that I probably should. I don't watch all the movies that everyone else watches. Some of them I do because it's big and it's out there and I want to be able to discuss it intelligently. Sometimes I do that. You should. I don't want you to be a devotee of American culture. I don't want you to watch Oprah every day. I think you should be aware so that when somebody comes, you should be able to say, no, let me tell you why this one or this movie or this book is, you know, I always forget the name of it. It was before Angels and Demons, the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown. Listen, that's the best seller of all time next to this book. It was a big deal. I had to read it. Of course I had to. So that when people ask me the questions, I was able to. And I think we're in the culture. Who best to reach 21st century Americans other 21st century Americans? Now, go crazy. I want you to watch at least 5 hours of TV every day. Don't spend time in your Bible. That's wasted time. Okay, you're not going to learn the culture there. And you're going to wait a second. Let's have a balance here. But do you think, you know, when some stuff comes up, you have to know about it a little bit. Now, I'm giving you a little bit of permission. You know who you are. If you love Jesus, listen to me and listen good. Well, I'm just going to get on my computer. I'm going to scope out the porn so I'll be able to help people who are, you know, who have this problem, right? No. Stop. No. And you know I'm not saying that. Does anyone here think I'm saying something silly like that? No. No. That movie, Avatar, have you seen it? Should you see it? Well, you and the Holy Spirit answer that question. It's horrible. It's horrific. It's ungodly. It's, yeah, most movies are. You know what I mean? I haven't seen it. Will I? Probably. There's only a few that I, you know, some I see because I want to see them. Not very often. I mean, I'm not a wealthy man. What is it, like $47.50 to go in? You know, you get, you know, popcorn and you get a soda and you're like, yikes, between you and your bride, it's like the better part of $100. It's crazy now. And it's just insane, you know. Netflix, I'll wait a few weeks. It's fine, you know. It's, yeah. But I think we have to understand the culture a little bit. We don't have to get in over our heads. We have to fall in love with it. But I think we have to know what we're talking about a little bit anyway. Paul's doing that. Timothy's doing that. He's there, and he's the people he's going to deal with. I have to get circumcised. I have to go the extra mile here. I have to, because otherwise, you know, it's like they ain't going to listen to a word I've got to say. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were in Jerusalem. In other words, they shared the gospel, the unadulterated, unamended, unadded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the questions came up, well, what about this and what about this? Well, let me read this letter that we have here from the church in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Will they? Always. God blesses his word. When the word's given, unadulterated, God will bless. I believe it. You have to, you know. Don't just go like this. You know, this church down the corner here, it's a big church. It's growing leaps and bounds. So that must be God must be there. Heresy kind of is also just there's big churches that are heretical. I don't want to name any. But I'm thinking of one, like, I kind of, when I first got saved, and then I moved back to Southern California. I got saved in Japan. We were based out of Southern California. When I got back to Southern California, there was one right down the road from us. It was rather a big one, and people were saying some critical things, and it was kind of really hard because of the fact that, yeah, I know you got a legitimate gripe there, and it was kind of obvious and evident, and I didn't know, but it was kind of really a, I can't say anything more about it. I'm going to give it away. See, sometimes, you know, I feel like sometimes I tell you about a wolf you should know about, I'll name them. But this one here, it's not, it's negligible, and it's just be like almost like gossip. I won't do it. But I think God, they were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Because God will bless. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What? Wait a second. What? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't like Asiatics, obviously, right? It was just forget about it. No. It's just, okay, that's for another time. It's just God, the Spirit of God, directing this missionary team. Why? Because he had a very, very specific work for them to do. When God closes a door on you, it doesn't mean like that's the end of that. It means right now, right here, I want you over here. And it's a question of timing. It's a question of, you know, where you're focusing in your energies or your time or things of this nature. The Spirit of God, it's not that he doesn't like Asiatics. Or he's saying, listen, I want you people, and he's going to actually send them to Europe. Which, by the way, as I look around the room, praise God, most of us are of European descent. We're kind of glad that the gospel made it to Europe, aren't you? I am. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. Now listen, nobody's disobedient here. Nobody needs to be corrected. Nobody needs to be reproved or brought up short. And, you know, it's just a question of, okay, let's do this. No, I don't want you to do that. Well, okay, we'll go over here and we'll try this. Okay, no, not that either. I'm all about that, by the way. Let's do something. Like, even God can't steer a parked car. Let's kind of move and let's kind of let him guide us a little. Let's do something. You know what I mean? If we're making mistakes to the glory of Jesus, let's kind of do something. And I think they have that, like, you know, we're just kind of wasting time. Let's move out here. The Spirit of God says, nope, not here. What is he playing a game? You're cold or no, ice cold. Oh, you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer. Not really, but he wants them to seek him, and he's going to get reveal the plan when he wants to reveal it, because that's his prerogative. That's how God does. He wants you to seek him. He's got a plan for your life. Sometimes you're very stressed out about it. You're all nerved up, and you're saying, oh, you know, I've been praying for God's will for my life. And what he'll listen. Relax about this. I'm glad that you're concerned. The ball's in his court. He will lead you. Always, always. But what about, you know, I've been praying for a long time. Well, for a long time, he's just letting you drift a little bit. For a long time, he's keeping you guessing. Eventually, the ball's in his court. It's also up to him. Listen, who's the good shepherd? You or God? God is. Jesus Christ said, you know, he's the good shepherd. He'll shepherd you. He'll get you to where you got to be. How does that work out? Well, let me tell you how it doesn't work out. The shepherd never worries about the IQ or the spirituality of his sheep. He knows how to, he's a good shepherd in and of himself. He knows how to get you to where you got to be. It's not a matter of intellect. It's not even really a matter of holiness. Be in a place where God can bless your life, for sure. Who's arguing that point? But after that, isn't it really kind of his call and up to him to get the message to us? We make ourselves available. We go to the places like here where he can speak to our hearts. Has he ever spoke to your heart here before? He's spoken to my heart. I'm teaching. He's telling me. I'm telling you sometimes if I give an altar call, I'll be the first one there. Sometimes I'm teaching the word and he's speaking to my heart. And when I'm studying, he's speaking to my heart, no doubt. And he knows how to get me from point A to point B. He really does. Where am I? So not Bithynia, you suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia to help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, it's a night vision. Is it a dream? I don't know. I think there's a difference between a dream and a vision. I think he has a vision. I think it happens at night. I think he's awake and he's praying and he's probably pulling one of these all-nighters and he has a vision. Does God speak through visions? Sure. I just showed you. Well, that was then. That was New Testament time. Huh? What? Excuse me. We're in New Testament time now. Look, God doesn't change. Same God, yesterday, today, and forever. He remains the same. He doesn't grow. He doesn't change. Ron? So, you know, just think about that in terms of like, he's still responsible to speak to us. Not responsible. That's the wrong word altogether. So every time I stop and try to start again, I have that problem. God, he still speaks to us. He still knows how to get a message. He still knows how to lead us. He still knows how to guide us. And he still does. Here he does, okay? And here he uses a vision. When people come up to me and they say, I had a vision, I had a dream or something like that. Don't bother me. Bible says that the man who has a dream, let him share his dream. But he says, what's that compared to my word? Now, the word is supreme. You understand that. But your dream, I've had spiritually significant dreams. That's fine. God can do that. And after he had seen the vision, they go to Macedonia. Therefore, loosing from Troas in verse 11, we came with a straight course to Samothrace on the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to, wait a second. Verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, what's the personal pronoun we? Who's writing the book? Luke. Luke joins them here. Okay? Now, when it's they, Paul sends Luke away to do something else. But when it's we, Luke's with them. Just a little footnote. That's free information. I ain't charging for that. Therefore, Lucifer from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. And so Luke's in the company now. And the next day, Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out to the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. I love King James, wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women, which was sorted thither. Now in Philippi, there's not 10 Jewish believing men, because otherwise they would have a synagogue. And when you have less than 10 men, then they have prayer down by the river. That's how it works. So they went down the river. There's no synagogue there, obviously. Prayer's there. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. We found women, and we shared the gospel with them. Good enough. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. How does that work? Sells purple. I mean, what do you know? I try to get the market cornered on red. It's hard to get the rights for that. You know, you can't buy red unless you come through me, and I've got dye. It's purple dye, okay? And by the way, it was very lucrative business, by the way. She'd be very well-to-do. Probably, women don't have businesses in this day. I'm sorry. Sisters, you've come a long way, baby, but back here, they just didn't. She's probably a widower, or she has a husband who's less prominent in the business, one or the other. That's the way it went. And if that offends you, you know, a lot of this, the Bible, when we come to these places, it's kind of male-oriented in a lot of places. I'm equal opportunity. I think God's equal opportunity God. We talked about that. We were in the book of Joshua. The daughters of Zelophehad had. Remember that? God knows how to bless women. That's not a problem. He's blessing this woman with a financial. Now look it. It's the Sabbath. It's the big day of the week as far as sales are concerned. Where is she? She's put her business aside. She's down by the river praying. She's got her priorities right. We don't have Sabbath. We don't do Sabbath, but we have a day set aside where we worship God and we put God first. It's a day that we get together when we... And listen, it bothers me that not everyone does that. I mean, it really does. Not that if I was president, I'd make that rule. You got to go to church on Sunday. But think about it. I drove up here and you saw 1,000,005 cars. What? A gun show that you have to pay $8 to get into just to look around. Here, it's totally free. And this is who we are. Here we are. See that? And you had trouble getting a parking space. There's so many people here, right? Now, I'm not anti-gun. As a matter of fact, I'm not anti-gun. But I just think, like, you know, leave that for another day of the week. This is the day to worship God. This is the, and it bothers me. It really bothers me. Why? Because I think that every tongue should sing his praise. I think that he should be the king of every single heart. And there's people where they don't sing his praise ever. They don't even think about him ever. And he's not the king of their heart. And it just, that drives someone like me absolutely right out of my mind. Doesn't it you? Doesn't it just bother you? Well, here, this one here, she's saying, I know I can do a lot of business. I know I can sell a lot and stuff like this, but you know what? I'm just going to go down by the road. I'm going to pray. I'm going to meet with some other ladies. Then we're going to have prayer meeting. Why? Because that's the thing that I think God wants of us. It's not all about making money. Well, it's not with her. Is it that with you? Is it all about making money? Is it all about, you know, I think we got to, well, I'm kind of singing to the choir and the fact that you're all here this morning, but you know what I mean? Is it about, fishing? Is it about going here, going there? And I'm not that legalistic guy. Every time the church doors are open, you better be there. Have you ever heard me say that? As a matter of fact, have you ever heard me even joke about it? Because I'm not like, it's horrible. If you take a vacation or if you're sick, you better drag your sorry carcass in here. And I didn't say that. I don't act like that. I just think your life should look like something. It should look like some priorities. I talk about Bible reading, right? I know that I'm speaking to some people who are way behind in their Bible reading or haven't even opened up a Bible this year at all, even a little bit. That really discourages me. Why? Because God's not speaking to you. You haven't given him an avenue which to speak to you. I mean, you've taken one of the ways he uses the most. I mean, look, how does God speak to you? Does he use his word? Because he uses his word in my life all the time. I sit alone with this, and I listen to this, and the words rise. I'm getting the snot beat out of me. But all for love, all for good. It's all good. And he's had the opportunity to, you know, cleanse my life and speak things into my life and bless me. And just, that's a wonderful time. priorities. Have you read the words? Well, you know, I've been awful busy, and I've been absorbing the culture, like you said, Adam. You know, those Gilligan Island reruns. I just make, you know, those people hooked on back in the '60s. You know, sitcoms. I'm able to minister to them, and okay. Well, God bless you. You know. I know. I think a man of God, I think a woman of God ought to have some priorities in life. Her priorities say, listen, we'll put business aside for a day. We'll get down the river. We'll get prayer going. What happens? She runs into Paul, the apostle. Listen, does God know how to bless or what? I mean, do you think you'd like to meet Paul the apostle if he spoke English? I think I'd love it. I'd even learn Greek or Aramaic or whatever he was speaking. I don't care. Can you imagine meeting Paul the apostle? Our sister Lydia did. She met him, and she worshiped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Listen to this. Now, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, if you're saved, at some point God did that. That's the only way it can happen. It's your great intellect and it's your great spiritual search. You finally come to the place with, no, what happened is God opened your heart. Praise his holy name. I wasn't even looking for him. I was running away from him. He cornered me and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understood it. Praise him. And it can be said of me, whose heart God opened. Praise him, because like I say, I wasn't looking for him. I didn't know anything. I had religion. I thought I understood something about God. If I do enough good stuff, he'll eventually approve of me. I was running, working like that gerbil on the wheel there. He's burning calories, just going around in circles, not really doing anything constructive. That was my spiritual life before I met Jesus Christ. And when she was baptized, okay, why? Because the Lord opened her heart. She attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. God opens her heart. She attends to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, that dad, I don't know, her husband, I mean, you know, I don't know, children, I don't know, household, apparently she had, it was more than just her. And she was able to lead her whole family to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Am I jealous? Yeah, a little bit, because that's not happened with me in only 30 years trying. And by the way, if that's you, hang on, just keep praying, keep being faithful, keep plugging away, live the life. Does that make a difference? Yeah, I don't hear it all the time, but I've heard it enough times to believe that it makes a difference, because even though I think I'm a heretic, you know, it's been said of me that, you know, out of all, that me and my wife, we have the best, you know, life going as far as morality is concerned. And I think people notice, you know, they really do. She was able to lead her whole household. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Okay, I bet she's a good salesman. Okay, she constrained us. She got them all, the whole party. Okay, you got Paul and Silas. I think Judas is with them, and Timothy, right? The whole, and Luke. Okay, so she got them all, you know, staying at her place. She constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Boy, I'm looking at the time. I don't know how far we're going to get here. Let's just jump in. We'll get as far as we get. It came to pass, went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masses much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Was she right? Absolutely. So that's no problem, right? She's free press, free advertisement. This is good, right? Nah, because Paul's saying we don't need that kind of press. We don't need satanic heraldry, people going out before us and, you know, Satan's evil spirit proclaiming the way before us. And we don't want to be associated with stuff like that. And you don't want to be associated with stuff like that either. She's right. We were talking about that, me and Susan talking about that Manhattan Declaration. So I put my name out there. I got my email address. And they said, well, they ain't going to, you know, try to sell me anything. If something like this. Sue says when they collect all that information, they'll persecute us first. I'm saying, so what? You know, here's the thing. My thinking is we're not sneaking up on Satan, okay? You know, because there's a mentality here. Don't put your head outside the foxhole. You get it blown off. No, stop. We're going to be bold. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. And we don't care about the results. Or not the results. We don't care about come what may. Persecution, that's typical of the Church of Jesus Christ for two millennia. We don't care about that. I always, they'll know when to find me. Everything I've said, it's out there. I'm not hidden. I'm not blushed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to sneak up on Satan. Listen, he's got minions. He's got S2. He's got like secret agents running around. You know, everything we do, you know, is right out in the open, right out in plain sight. We're not like secret agent Christian man, like all cloak and dagger in a closet. We don't let anyone know. Actually, if we're that person, Satan doesn't even out us. He'll let us, you know, is a let a sleeping dog lie kind of mentality. But beyond all that, I mean, you know, I remember back in the story of Josh when they first crossed the Jordan River. Remember it piled all up and they walked across on dry land. What's the first thing happened? They said they circumcised themselves. Okay, they dealt with the flesh. In that context, good thing. What's the next thing they had? They kept Passover. Where are they? They're right in the shadow of Jericho, and they're celebrating Passover. The verse that always comes to me, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemy. Are we sneaking up on anybody? No. Let them know. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm all about. I'm not, nothing, no subterfuge, nothing underhanded. There's no cloak and dagger. We're right out there. We just say what we mean. We mean what we say. We're not embarrassed by this. So here we have this. Situation here, and they want them to know who they are, but they don't want people to know who they are that way. She did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her that same hour. Just this is where we're going to end today, I'm afraid. It's right in the middle of the story. We'll pick up here next time, but I will say this. You're going to get involved in some sort of, I don't like the word exorcism. It gives you, you know, holy water and incense connotations. You're going to be combating a demon this week. Big deal. I mean, big deal. You don't even get worked up over that. Don't get exorcised over exorcism. This is no big deal. Paul says, okay, get out of her, and demon goes away. Now, have I given you everything you need to know on that subject? No, I have not. I have not. We'll study that another time separate. But what I want you to understand, in your life, Satan will try to tempt you. You can summarily dismiss him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Welcome to my life. I got temptation. No, it's written, so I do what's written. I don't do what you say. You've got to understand that. Okay, we're gonna stop there. Matt's gonna come. He's gonna send us out in worship. You people can stand, and I'll pray, and we'll prepare hearts to worship God. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it clearly speaks to us, even when I clearly don't teach it. I mean, I don't clearly teach it. I mean, still, you can speak to our hearts. And you can tell us the things we need to know. And I thank and praise you for it, Lord, how it's changed our lives dramatically for good and for God forever. Lord, the word given today, I pray that it'll find a home in our heart and make us the men, the women you've called us to be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.